on. If you believe that he is here, just wave your hand to me. All right, that's good. Okay, without further delay, I would like you to turn to the book of Psalms 34 and verse 8. If you have Psalms 34 verse 8, I would like you to turn to Psalms 34 verse 8. Okay, can we all... Okay, let's go. Psalms 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Come on, let's read that together, right? 1, 2, 3. Oh, come on, louder. Okay, let's do that one more time, right? 1, 2, 3. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. All right, okay, now let's go to Psalms 107 verse 1. Psalms 107 verse 1, it says here, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Come on, one more time together. 1, 2, 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Psalms 145 and verse 9. Come on. Psalms 145 and verse 9. And this is what he says. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Now, as you read these three different scripture, there's one thing in common. There's one thing stands out in common. Okay, if you really look carefully, there's one sentence that repeats, right? In these three scripture, it repeats. And what do you think is the word or the sentence that's being repeated here in all these three different scripture? If you answer this, confirm go heaven once. Trust me. What's the answer? The Lord is good. In three different scriptures that we read from the same author, from the same guy who wrote, and in the same book, he declared that the Lord is good. And now my title for my today's sermon is very straightforward. The title is, The Lord is Good. Turn your neighbor and say, The Lord is good. Come, let's go back to the old school ways where I will say, God is good, and you say all the time. Is that okay? Let's go back. All right, let's go back to the 1990s. All right, God is good. And all the time,
God is good.
One more time, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, come, let's pray. The service is not ended yet, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, that you will come and you will just open up our spiritual understanding to know who you are. The very nature of you, that you are good, God, will just come upon us, upon our family. Help us to understand that you are such a good God, despite the challenges and the situation that we are in. Father, I pray, God, that your word will fall on good ground and your word will bear fruits in the life of your people. We thank you in Jesus' name, and every man and the woman of God say amen. Come on, let's give a clap for Jesus Christ. So good to see you, Uncle Stephen. So good to see you and your wife too. So good to see you. Now, this word, God is good, right, seems to be a very common word. Am I right? As you go to children's church and you grow up, and then how young or how old you are, and most of the believers, we will say, God is good, right? And sometimes there are times where we will ask a brother or a sister, how are you? You know, instead of saying fine or bad, they will say, God is good. That's how we are trained to say it. You know, God is good. But most of the time when we say God is good, right, it is because we come to a conclusion, because probably a day before, or 3 days before, or a week before, God has done something great in your life. Probably you got a new job, or probably you got a new car. Probably, you know, someone gave you a large sum of money, and then you came into a conclusion, wow, God is good. But what if I say, or what if times where you don't see it coming? Hello? This is reality that we all go through. What if I say, there are times when I ask you, how are you? You feel that your job is hanging down the line, and you feel your family is broken. You feel there is pain inside of your body. If you feel your marriage is breaking, and you feel that you're depressed, you're lonely, can we still come to a point and say, God is still good? And today, my purpose and my goal is to shift your attention and your perspective to come into an understanding, despite what you go through, the Lord is constantly good. Come on, people of God. Whatever you go through, whether you are on a happy mode or in joyful mode, or even if you're sad, the Lord is constantly good. So today, my focus, my goal is to bring you into a maturity on understanding who is this God that we worship. The God that we worship, He is always constantly good and He is faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, He is good and faithful. Now, when we say the Lord is good, it comes from the characteristic of who God is. There are four different major characteristics of who God is. Number one, God is omnipotent. We know omnipotent is all powerful. Besides that, number two, the second characteristic of God is God is all present, means He is everywhere. God is benevolent, means God is all loving. And God is omniscient, means God is all knowing. Four different major characteristics of God forms this word, the Lord is good. For example, now stay with me. When I say the Lord is good, it is because He is all powerful. When I say the Lord is good, it's because He is all knowing. When I say the Lord is good, it's because He is all loving. When I say the Lord is good, it's because He is everywhere. How many of you know the Lord that you serve? Come on, the Lord that you worship, He knows what's happening in your life. Not just He knows what's happening in your life, but He is powerful enough, He is glorious enough to change the situation in your life. Not just that, He is a loving Father, and not just that, but He is a God who is all knowing, which means He knows everything that's going through. He's powerful, He's everywhere, and He is a loving Father. These four major characteristics of God forms the word good. How many of you with me here? Okay, let's stay there, all right? Now, let's stay here. Now, let's move on to the reality now. Is that okay? Let's get the reality now. The reality is right now we are living, probably we are in one of the most toughest moment in our life, okay? I'm not putting fear, right? What I'm trying to do is address the reality, okay? Stay with me. And then bring the reality of who God is. Come on. The reality of the world, the reality of mankind, and the reality and the nature of who God is and how we can, you know, soar high like an eagle despite what we are going through. Now, in this world today, we all of us are probably, some of us or all of us are going through some major difficulties in our life, especially in such a time like this in Malaysia and stuff, the prices are going up, all right? If you buy groceries, if you're going to, Tesco or Giant, you know the prices are going up, price of chicken. How many of you cook chicken curry? Probably you cannot cook chicken curry. See, the prices are going up. And what's happening here is the supply is lower than the demand. And when the supply is lower than the demand, what happens? Inflation happens. What is inflation? You know, inflation is prices of goods and service. It's keep going up. And that's what's happening in Malaysia. For some of us, probably you're sitting here with broken marriages. Probably you're sitting here with a broken heart. Probably you're sitting here with a broken relationship. Probably you're sitting here, you're going through anxiety, loneliness, and depression. But the question here is, how can we still come to a point to know that the Lord is still good? How many of you have this question inside of you, that God, so many things is happening in my life, are you really good? We don't ask this in church. We don't say this to our pastor because we are afraid that people will think wrongly of us. But inside of us, we all struggle with this question. God, are you really good? If you are really good, then why are these things happening in my life? Am I talking some sense here this evening? I'm sure you all have this question. God, why can and how can a good God allow suffering to take place in this world? Talk to me. How can a good God allow pain and depression and anxiety and pressure to take place in me and my family and in my working place? You said you are a good God. Where are you? That's the question that we need to answer this evening. How can I still trust that He is a good God? Now, the fact that God is good means He has no evil intention. He has no evil doing, which means all His intentions, listen this carefully, stay with me, all His intentions and all His motives are pure and good and perfect. Whatever He thinks of you, Adrian, whatever He perceives of you, whatever He does towards you is perfect and it is good. The neighbor say, it is good. His motives are always good. He does what is right, and the outcome of his plans are always and constantly always good. The outcome of what he does towards you and your family, the outcome is always and constantly good, without question, full stop. But the problem here is the way we define what good may not be what God defined what good is. That's the problem why today we struggle to enter into God's presence, and we struggle to trust God. We struggle to claim that God is good because we define success like how the world defined what success is. When you are joyful, when someone gives you money, when you get a new job, when you get a new car, wow, God, you are so good. When your tire punctured, when you wake up in the morning and suddenly you start your car and your car wouldn't start, God, where are you? You start to question God. But today, I would like you to bring you into a place of maturity. No matter what happens in your life, that you will stand strong and you will look up and say, God, you are my Father and you are still good. Come on, people of God, we need to be a mature Christian. Now that we know that the fact that God is always good and there's nothing evil in him, as his intention towards us is not evil, his motives are pure and good. Now we need to come to the next point. What is good then? Can I water, please? What is good then? We know the fact that God is good. Now how do we define what good is? Thank you, David. Are you staying with me? You guys are good? Now, the fact that God is good, what does good is? What is good? David, what is good is? When you wake up in the morning, someone prepares you a cup of coffee or espresso. Wow, that is good. Probably you would think that way. But let's see what does it means when I said God is good. Stay with me. God, good is what God approves. Turn to your neighbor and say, good is what God approves. Good is what God approves. There is no higher standard or goodness than God's own character, and whatever he approves or say is consistent towards that character. What I'm trying to say here is whatever that God approves in your life, it is good. And that thing that he approves is it is consistent towards his behavior. What is his behavior? What is it, his characteristic? That he is good. All right. So now, in another word, everything that God approves is good, and good it is what God approves. Stay with me. Everything that God approves is good, and good is what God approves. In another word, God knows best. Today, probably you're sitting here and you are struggling. God, I don't understand certain things that are happening in my life. There are times that certain things that you pray for and you feel that God is not answering your prayer because God knows what's best for you. You may not know what's best for you, but the Lord, my God, my Father, he knows what's best and he will give it to you if it's the best thing. If it doesn't come to you, if it doesn't come towards you, then it's not the best thing. Because whatever he does, whatever he approves, whatever he gives towards you and your family, it is good. And now we need to come to a point in understanding. We have heard the fact that God is good. Now we have seen what is good. Now we need to understand the goodness of God. Now is where we are getting, right? We need to understand the goodness of God. How many of you believe that the Lord is good? Put up your hand. You have to put up your hand because you're in church, right? Understanding the goodness of God. Number one, God's goodness doesn't mean we will agree with all he does. Ouch. God's goodness, okay, doesn't mean we will agree with all he does. Not everything that God does is worthy of our approval. There are things sometimes that happen in our life, it's not worthy of our approval because you know why? The way the Lord functions and the way heaven functions is totally different than how we function. Because we define success, we define certain things that is good based on what the world will say, what would the media will say, what would internet will say, what will your peers and your friends and your family will say. But the Lord, you know, the way he does something good is totally different than what we perceive. You know, there are times that God will do things in your life that we don't understand. How do I know that? Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9. This is what he says. Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9. He says here, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Ha ha. "And what? Your ways are not my ways. For as high as the heaven above the earth, my ways are higher than your ways." Come on. "And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." My friend, your ways and your thoughts may be a little small, but God's ways and God's thoughts over you, over your family, over your career is always above than your ways and above than your thoughts. You may not understand certain things, but His ways are always higher than your ways. Come on, give God the glory in this place. And that's the reason why sometimes we don't understand, because God is doing far more greater things than what you could ever ask or imagine. That's what Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, that God is able to do much more, things much more, you know, exceedingly above what you ever ask or ever imagine of, by the power that works within Him. Here, what God is trying to say, what the author trying to say is, you see, there are times that you will pray for something. There are times probably that you will ask God for something, but hold on there. Because what you ask, maybe God has far more greater things in store for you. And that's the reason why certain things don't happen in your life, because God is preparing you for a greater miracle and greater blessing, because He is your Father, and a father will always give what is best and good towards his children. Come on, people of God. You know, in the night, sometimes when I was, you know, when I sleep with my son, and my son, he sleeps all over the place. You place him very neat, very tidy. After 5 minutes, it's all over the place. And he will kick his blanket and we'll be blasting aircon. So see, me being a father sleeping beside him without him knowing, of course he's a baby, he can't say, you know, he can't roll and say, "Daddy, give me a blanket." He, you know, he can't talk yet, you know. But I know when I wake up and I see the blanket is not on his leg, on his body, I know that it is going to get cold, and I will take the blanket and put it on him. Now, he doesn't even know that. Probably even when he grow up, he won't even know that. But what my action towards him keep him warm in the night? He don't even know. He didn't even see it. My friend, there are things that God has done in your life, you don't even see it. There are things in your life that God is doing that you don't even know that He brought a lot of changes. How many of you sometimes know that when you're driving and you're stuck in your jam, it could be a good thing? Not always. You know, if always means, that means because you are late. Wake up early. You know, but there are times that you're always early and then suddenly you're stuck in the jam. Probably the Lord saved you from a major accident. You didn't know. There are certain things that take place in your life, cause us to be angry and upset and disappointed, but you don't know. The Lord is doing something that is good for you. If you want to be a mature Christian, whatever life throws at you, you will stand strong and say, "God, no matter what happens in my life, I know that you are shaping me. I know you're doing something great, which I cannot see, which I cannot understand, but it is a good thing." This is what it means, that my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The Lord is for you. Come on, people of God. He is a good God. And now let's go back to the first verse, remember? Psalms 34. Now, Psalms 34 is a story about David. Now, listen to this. It's going to be interesting. It's a story about David. And David, right, he's always running after something. He's always running after something or running away from someone or something. And in this story, the background of this story, you know what happened here is, Saul is after him. Stay with me, right? Saul is after this guy, David, because you know why? Everybody in Israel are singing and celebrating David. Wow, David, you know, Saul killed hundreds and David killed 10,000. And everybody was singing this song. It was like the greatest hits of all time. During that time, it was on TikTok, it was on Instagram, everybody was playing that song. Everybody know that Saul now is after David. And when Saul heard this song on radio, that everybody was singing about how great David is, he got very upset with David. And because you know what, he is still the king. David is not the king yet. But everybody is praising him. So Saul was like, "I'm going to kill David and I'm going to kill his friends. So David and his friends got scared, and now they're running away. And they ran, they met a priest, and the priest said, no, cannot, I cannot keep you also, because your songs are very famous here. Everybody know about you. Better run away. So imagine nowadays, after all these things, you know where he ran to? The last one? He ran to the enemy's territory. He ran to the Philistine. Can you imagine the guy, the Philistine, all hate this guy because he killed their leader, Goliath. They all hate him. And now he got nowhere to go. There are times probably you will feel that he got nowhere to go. And David got so low that he went to the enemy's territory and tried to hide there. And even there, people start to recognize him. Hey, this guy is David. You know, when you're famous, you can't run away. This guy is David. I know this guy. And David, you know what happened? In order to escape that, he act like a mad guy. Sometimes if you want to get over things, just act like a mad guy. He and his buddies, they act like a mad guy in the palace. In the Philistine palace, they act like a mad guy. And then the people, the king saw, hey, this one is a loose fella, loose case, send him back. And you want to get away with things? Just act like mad, okay? And he was acting like mad. This one, throw fella. So now David and his men, they ran towards a cave. Can you see his journey now? He was supposed to be celebrated as a warrior. And now you see a grown man, a strong man, who is powerful, who is mighty, hiding in the cave. And you know what he did in the cave? He started to complain. No, he didn't do that. In the cave was the bird of Psalms 34. Isn't it amazing? Every time when David goes through brokenness and disappointment, a song comes, like Taylor Swift. But this is different. Now she talks about a guy who breaks the heart. But here, we see that every time when you go through brokenness and anxiety and disappointment, he still counted on God. He went to the cave. Listen this, God was not still good yet, according to our imagination. Saul is still trying to come after him. God has not delivered him yet. He has not got his victory yet. He's not becoming a king yet. And he was in the cave, and a song broke. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you imagine? Haven't tasted yet. Haven't seen yet. Haven't saw the hand of God yet. Yet, he came to a point and he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What's the next line?
For he tastes like honey in the rock. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For he tastes like honey in the raw.
Now, David developed a sense of maturity. Even when I don't see it coming yet, he is still good. My friend, if we want to get into another level with God, if we want to be a strong Christian, if we want to be full of passion for God, no matter what life throws at you, you will recognize that the Lord is still good, no matter what happens. And here in the cave, a song was being burned out. Likewise, in whatever you are going through, there's going to be a new song that will burn out inside of you. Come on, people of God, the song of who God is, the song of the goodness of God. Can I tell you one more time that the Lord is constantly and always good? And he said, oh, taste and see, for the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The real hero in the kingdom, the real legend in the kingdom, is the one who will say, whatever arrows that will come in my way, I will not back down. I will not stop worshiping. I will not stop reading the word. I will not stop coming to church. I will not stop attending cell group. I will not stop praying. But the more the enemy will throw things at me, I will move forward because he is good. The mark of a true Christian is someone who is not shaken, immovable by the things that will come towards you and your family, that you will stand strong and say, no matter what happens, God, I will still worship you because you are a good God. See, the problem here with us here is we worship. Today, if I ask you, why do you worship God? You will say, I worship God because the Lord, you know, has done great things in my life. Why do you worship God? Why do you come to church? Why do you love God? Oh, I love God because, you know why? When I was 17 years old, when I was 18 years old, the Lord came and brought this girl and I married this girl now. You know, the Lord has been so great. He's been so, so awesome. There is a lot of factors that causes us to worship God. Am I right? Think about it. Today, if I ask you, why do you worship God? Answer it towards yourself. There'll be a lot of factors that will cause you to say, God, you are a good God. I want you to cancel all that, that you will come through upon and say, the reason why I love and worship God, because He is God. That's it. When you have that in your mind, I come to church because He is God. I worship God because He is God. I pray because He is God. Full stop. You know what will happen? You'll change your belief system. You will change your principle. You will change your philosophy. It means that there's no other factors that will cause me to get nearer to God. The moment I want to get, the only reason I get nearer to God, the only reason why I worship God, because He is God. That's it. Simple as that. How many of you are with me in that? If you have that in your mind, we will not have a church, or we will not have a people who will come to church and say, I've been defeated, Lord. God is so far away. You know, you will come to church and you will like, you know what? I may not like it. I may know someone cheated on me. Someone took my money and didn't give back. But you know why? I come to church. I still want to be part of a family because He is God. I want to lift up my hands. I want to dance in the Spirit because He is God. I want to serve. I want to volunteer. I want to be in the media department because He is God. When you have that, your whole Christian life and your whole, Christian walk will be a walk of maturity. Come on, people of God. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say here? Okay, we're going to be done soon. All right? Now, next one. How then do we respond to this goodness? Now, before this, we heard about understanding the goodness of God. Now, how do we respond to this goodness of God? Like what David did. He responded with praise. For you to respond to the goodness of God is to respond by praise and worship. You know, there are times that sometimes, I'm guilty of it. There are times sometimes when we come to church, when we praise, when we worship God, constantly in our mind is, I want that God. I want you to come through for me, that God. It's not wrong. But our mind is constantly, God, I'm going to sing this song, You Are Waymaker. Okay, that's going to happen. Back home, that's going to happen. We got a lot of this thing running in our mind, behind our mind. It's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But how many of us who will come and who will sing and praise God for who He is? God, I caught it, I don't have it. Whether you heal me or you don't, whether you bless me or you don't, you are still God. And I know the time will come for me, the healing will come. My friends, all these healings, miracles, all these, they will chase after you. They will come. God is still healing. He is still giving to His children. He is still blessing His children. He is still wanting to empower His children. But we need to come to a point in not focusing on all those things, but focus on who this God is, and all the other things will focus unto you. Come on. as you respond in praise and worship, as you will just come, just like Mary, who will sit at the feet of Jesus and will just spend time with Jesus, fall in love in Jesus. Don't just bring a supplication. Yes, all that is good, but there should be a time that you will just come and say, God, I don't want to ask you for anything. I just want to ask you of your heart. I just want you, God. I just want to seek your face, God. I just want to dwell and linger and stay in your presence. That's the reason why David was so successful in all his battle. That's why David was a successful king, because he understood, for me to respond to the goodness of God, I need to come into a place of praise and worship. Because when I come into a place of worship, as I respond towards the goodness of God, the goodness of God will come running after me. Don't chase after the goodness of God. Chase after the God of goodness. You get it? Don't chase after the goodness of God, but chase after the God of goodness, and the goodness of God will come chasing after you. How do you like that? All right, can I get the keyboardist, please? Second thing. We need to respond. First one, respond with praise and worship. Second one, we respond towards trusting Him. Now, see, there are times where we find it very... Can come down, right? There are times sometimes we find it very difficult to trust God. There are times certain things happen. Can I really trust this God? And then you'll stumble upon this verse. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, he says what? Trust God with what? All your heart. And what? All your ways. And acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. See, now here, there's this keyword here. Trust God in all your heart. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. In order to trust God, we need to trust God with all our heart. Not just a little. All our heart and in all our ways. But there are times that we only give certain part of our heart, because certain part we're still trusting in the government. Don't do that. We are still trusting on our superior. We are still trusting on the one who is earthly people, who is above us, so that we can pull string, so that they will see my works and they will reward me. We trust on something that can be shaken. What if God strip all these things away? Will you still say, God, you are more than enough? Can I say something? God is more than enough for you. God is more than enough for all of us here. We need to come to a place in trusting God. But the problem here is, as we read this scripture, trust God with all my heart. How? How do I do that? And some of us, we fail to trust God because we don't recognize His voice. One of the reasons why we fail to trust God because we fail to recognize the Lord's voice. John chapter 10 verse 27 says that my sheep knows my voice. Whenever my wife and myself, when we play with my son, we will hide. We will do a lot of hide and seek. Babies love that. And wherever you hide, when you call out the name, the voice, my son recognized the voice of his father. My son will recognize the voice of his mother. As young as he is, he will recognize. And that recognition of that voice will bring a lot of comfort, right? Those who have babies, you know that. Sometimes your voice brings a lot of comfort to your children. I still remember when I was young, I liked to go into a room and close the door. I think that's why my son is doing that now. I like to close the door, and this time the door was locked. And I think that time my mother and my father don't know where they put the key, and they couldn't get me out. And then they called the neighbors all to come. And they act like engineers to come and open the door, but they couldn't open the door. There's a lot of noise, a lot of voice. I still remember this moment. But my father said one word, "Son, I will get you." Among all the voices that saying, "Don't cry, we will come. Don't cry, we will break the door," those voices didn't bring comfort. But when my daddy said, "I will come and get you," I took a step back and I know he's coming. My friend, the reason why I was being comforted in that moment because I recognized the voice of my father rather than anyone else. The voice of the Father will bring such comfort and peace to your heart. And that will lead you to trust that God. I can't see my father back at the door. I can't see. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. But I can hear. Some of you are asking, "God, I don't feel you." We do that, right? That guy came to church and he said, "Worship was superb. I felt God." And you're like, "Huh? What are you talking about? I don't even feel anything." Hello? We all go through that. "I don't even feel it, my friend." You may not see him. You may not feel him. But you can always and always hear his voice. How? Sebastian, but I can't hear his voice audibly. I got a secret. His voice is here. The love letters. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, he is my refuge. Oh, he is my strength. Oh, I am more than a conqueror. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Oh, the Lord is able to do things exceedingly abundantly beyond what I could have asked. Oh, the Bible said, whatever he starts, he will complete it." It's a voice. Today, if you fail to trust God, it's because you don't recognize his voice. Number two, the reason why we fail to trust God is because we feel distant from God. How many of you felt distant from God? Don't put up your hand. You're not alone. There was this guy in the Bible by the name of Job who felt very far away from God. You know, Job was one of the guy throughout history who went through the messiest life ever. The most traumatic life ever. And there was this point, even the wife, can you imagine, his own wife will come to him. "He just cursed your God, lah. He is not good." There are times, even your own friends will come. "Ah, your God really good, lah." And you know what Job respond? Let's see. Job 13 verse 5, this is what he respond. I love this guy. Job, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Though life will throw rocks at me, though my family is breaking apart, though I've lost my job, though I've lost my income, I will still trust in the Lord because he is a good God." And you know what happens to Job's life after that? After everything was taken away, he would not even once he was shaken and shaken or moved. He stood steady. Turn to everybody and say, "Steady. Steady, Bambi." He was so steady. So steady. He said, "I will still trust in the Lord." And what was the outcome to that? God gave him back more than enough, more double than what he used to have. The Lord raised him up again. My friend, that is the goodness of God. There are times you may not experience the goodness of God, but the moment as you're steady in the Lord, you're persevere in the Lord, you endure in the Lord, God is making you. Whatever that's happening in your life, it's not to break you, but to make you. Come on, people of God. Come on. Be encouraged this morning that the Lord is for you and he is good. Last one and we are done. Okay, this is a little bit harsh. The reason why we fail to trust God is because there are times that we treat God like, how many of you have watched this cartoon or this movie, Aladdin? Never watched Aladdin before? Sivaji the boss watch, right? He's playing that song now. You know, Aladdin has this genie, right, with him. He can make how many wish? 3 wish, right? Every time when he raps, the genie will come and he asks, what do you want? And then the Aladdin will say, I want this, and something will happen. 3 times. And you know, sometimes we treat God like that. We only go to God's throne. We only go for worship and church because we have something to ask from God. And how many of you, you know, down my house, in my apartment, there's this vending machine. Sometimes you work, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you put money, it won't come out. And whenever the drinks doesn't come out, I get very angry towards it. I will look at the numbers, see which company is there, I want to call and scold them. But I've never done that. But you get so angry, and then the guard will be there. I'll say, tada kulo ala. And so he owns the machine, you know. We get so angry. And then you know what? Constantly in my mind, cursing that thing. Because I put my money, man, never come out. Sorry to say it. Some of us, that's how we treat God. I gave you offering, ma. I gave you tithes, ma. I gave you pledge, ma. Next month, supposed to double up, ma. Never so. Hey, don't. You all think like that, I know. We all do that sometimes. You said what? Give and she'll be given back to you, what? It is true, it will come back. But that doesn't mean today you give, tomorrow you get. And that means everybody, every day I will give you. God works in a whole mysterious way. Don't treat him like that. He's God. He's not your pet. Come, go. I need you, you come. I don't need you, you go. No, he's not your pet. He's your father. You know what does a father desires from his son? Put down his toys. Put down everything. Just come and sit on his lap. That's it. Don't do anything. Just sit. Kiss me all over. Hug me all over. Rest, roll on the floor all over. That's what me and my son will do. We'll roll on the floor. Bite each other. Kiss each other. That's why he's so energetic today. You do that, why? That's what the father desired from his son. Put down what you're doing. Come towards me. And then after that, go and do what you need to do. Don't treat God like a genie, or don't treat God like a vending machine. That's not how you do Christian walk. A Christian walk is a walk of relational walk. A communication relational walk with God. And you have that. Those who have a strong devotion, those who have a strong, solid communication and relationship with God, you ask them. They will trust God. You ask them, you talk to them. They will never say that they don't trust God. Never. Because as the moment as you spend so much time with God and communicating with God, what happens is you begin to know who is this person. How many of you are dating a young person? Don't put up your hand. Pastor Derek is watching. If you're dating someone, or if you go out with someone, you will want to talk to them, because you know why? You want to know what the person is like. Same thing with God. The more you talk, the more you spend time with him, you will know who is this God. And boy, that's it. I know my father. I know my God. I may have lost my job. People make fun of me. I may not have, you know, I may not have cables. You know, I may not be so, you know, so famous. You know, I may not be so smart. I'm not so energetic. You know, I may be weak, but I know who my God is. Today you may have lost everything, but you still have one thing. Stand up to your feet and I'll tell you. You still have God, the Father of all Father, and He loves you. I want you to take your right hand right now and put it in your heart, on your heart. Despite whatever you're going through, right? Let's just say this together as one family. Can we just say, the Lord is good? Come on, let's do that. The Lord is good, come on. Tap your heart. The Lord is good, come on. God, you are good. God, you are good. Some of you are still finding where's your heart. God, you are good. Father, change our perspective this evening, God. Father, forgive us. We come before you with a heart of repentance. If we have treated you like a genie or a magician, we want to see you as a father, as God. God, you are a good God. And whatever you do, Father, whatever you approve is good. We may not see it or feel it or understand it, but you are a good God. So good. Come on, just stay in His presence. That's right. Come on. Come on, just focus on God, the goodness of God. He's good. Nothing in this world is good, but only God is good. That's what Jesus told the young rich ruler. Why do you ask me what is good? Nothing is good, but only God is good. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence. We thank you for your word that was spoken this evening. I pray, God, that your goodness will come upon your people, and your people, as they leave this sanctuary, they will have a new perspective, a new mindset of who you are. Whatever life will throw at them, oh Father, that they will not move, they will not be shaken, but rather they will be strong and mature, and they will say, the Lord, my God, is good, and He is constantly good. He is faithful. The one who calls me is faithful, and He will do it. Father, help us to be a mature believer this evening. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a biggest clap of all.